Broadcasted live. Catch the broadcast on kaya959.co.za.
Former spy boss and first negotiator for a democratic South Africa, Dr. Neil Barnard, dies. And really, some really big personality this person is. And I don't know how many of you know of Dr. Neil Barnard. And he was an academic, quite instrumental in how this country moved from where it was to democratic South Africa. And many say, you know, what a humble human being. On the line, this is News 24 Deputy Editor for Investigators, Peter Toy. Thank you so much for your time. Good evening and welcome.
Good evening, Pamela. Thanks for having me.
I mean, Neil Barnard contributed immensely to this country, dating back to his time, you know, with the then P.W. Botha as his boss to modern-day South African politics.
Pamela, yes. Look, he was anything but humble. You know, from people that worked with him way back when he was head of the National Intelligence Service in the 1980s. He was someone that had quite a big ego, that knew he was in a very powerful position, and someone that used that power to the fullest extent that he could. You know, just some background, he was a very young academic at the University of the Free State in the late 1970s. Then he was plucked from relative obscurity by then apartheid Prime Minister P.W. Botha to become head of the new National Intelligence Service. And alongside other senior spies like Marit Harvater and Mike Lowe, they started preparing the ground in the mid-1980s for the democratic transition. So the spy intelligence agency played a significant role in preparing Nelson Mandela when he was still in prison in Robben Island, and later at Portsmouth and Victor Verster, to actually become the president. And Neil Barnard, as head of national intelligence, also gave advice to P.W. Botha, later to F.W. de Klerk, and said, look, the country is headed for a form of political transition. The chances are very good that Nelson Mandela might become president of a democratic South Africa one day, and we need to start preparing for that. So in that sense, Neil Barnard, who died today, was not a very well-known figure, not one of the main names, but most certainly one of the individuals and figures who played a significant role in the transition from apartheid state to a democratic South Africa.
Peter, you make the point that he was not humble. Perhaps for those who are celebrating him today, you know, it kicked in at 75.
Yes.
And maybe humility sort of with age came with it. Look, you know, you make the point that obviously he was quite a young influential figure in the 80s, and this is someone who was at the heart of the NIS at a very dangerous South Africa, we may all add, and a lot was happening, a lot of violence. And you know, just talk to me about the rapport he had with P.W. Botha, because he says he started sort of very gently bringing out the idea to P.W. Botha in around about 82, 83 to say, we need to do something actually to legitimize this government. What kind of a rapport did they have together?
Look, it's fascinating. It's 40 years ago, 45 years ago. So I think we tend to forget our immediate history and our immediate past. And I think we tend to forget what a difficult and militarized place South Africa was in the 1980s. If you can cast your mind back, you know, the country was isolated. It was on fire. The UDF was really making a lot of inroads in resisting the apartheid regime. The country was economically under enormous pressure. The ANC that was still in exile at that stage was having a lot of success in isolating South Africa, apartheid South Africa, from the rest of the world. So really, the apartheid South Africa was under enormous pressure. And when P.W. Botha plucked Barnard from University of the Free State, like I said, he was relatively unknown. He was an academic, so he is credited with professionalizing the apartheid state's intelligence services, which after 1994 was obviously taken over by the democratic dispensation. So he played a big role in in professionalizing it. And I understand and I know that military intelligence, lots of politicians detested him when he took over the spy agency because he started asking questions. At that stage, because the country was so militarized, dominated by the apartheid military and the apartheid police, Neil Barrett was an academic. He came into the spy agency and then he started challenging the conventional ideas that were propagated by the military chiefs, the politicians, and so on. So they did not like him for that. But that's why Botha appointed him. And Botha, as much as he's considered a hardliner these days, he was an individual who started the reform process, even though it didn't go far enough. But it was Barnard and his senior colleagues that told Botha, and eventually obviously de Klerk as well, look, there's a process that's going on. We are in contact with Mandela. We are starting to prepare him for life outside prison, because I think someone like Barnard and the Minister of Justice back then, Kwebe Kutse, they understood that Mandela could not die in prison. That was the last thing they wanted. And they also understood, once they started negotiating with Mandela, and once Mandela started talking to him to them about what the plans for a possible democratic South Africa were, they also understood that that was someone they could do business with. So I think it was fortunate that we had people of the caliber of Barnard, certainly, but also people like Mandela and Mac Maharaj, who were in charge of Operation Bula, who, you know, they were around and they could direct this process. So Barnard, certainly, a product of the apartheid state, a product of Afrikaner nationalism, a product of his time, but someone who certainly fought and thought about things way differently than the nationalists and the militarists did at that stage.
So, you know, obviously we speak a lot of how he managed the transition, specifically with Madiba, but there were other meetings as well before that, Thabo Mbeki and Jacob Zuma, while the ANC was still banned, in fact, in countries outside of South Africa. And the issue here is, even as he was a deployee of that government, they themselves couldn't discuss this openly with their own participants and MPs. Just let's talk about how sensitive, even internally, that whole operation was.
Look, and that's what's so fascinating about, and you know, and that's why, you know, the fact that he's now died, I think, at the age of 79, it's another link with our past that is gone. You know, E24 today did speak to Mac Maharaj, who was leading Operation Bula at that stage, like I said earlier, who was also a senior player on the ANC side in the intelligence arena. You know, and as these older figures leave us, I think it's important that we remember these stories, that we write them down and get as close to the truth as we can for the country, the history's sake, and to get as close to the truth as we can. But just about the sensitivity, you know, that's the role that spy agencies often play. They work in the background, they work off the books, they work black operations, often without their principals knowing, often without the head of state or the head of government, for example, Botha or de Klerk, not knowing exactly what they were doing. So they had a broad outline of what they wanted to achieve, and what they wanted to achieve was contact with the ANC, contact with Mandela. So there were a number of meetings, clandestine meetings out. There was a famous meeting, well, famous now after the fact, that was held in Switzerland between Thabo Mbeki and Jacob Zuma on the one side, and Maurits Spaarwater and Mike Lowe from the National Intelligence Agency on the other side. And that was the first time that senior ANC people spoke to senior people from the apartheid government. And even senior people in the apartheid government were not aware of that, because obviously there was a lot of opposition to that. A lot of senior people in the apartheid government would have tried to stop that process if they knew it was ongoing. So Neil Barnard always felt that, look, they had to get this process started, they had to get it going, so that it is pretty much unstoppable once it starts moving. And that's exactly what happened. And you know, people like Barnard and others that, from the apartheid government perspective, got the process underway, so that by the time that de Klerk became president in September 1989, after P.W. Botha had a stroke, it was almost unstoppable. You know, Mandela was off the island, off Robben Island. He was in a house in Victor Verster You know, he was being driven around Cape Town. You know, he was being reintroduced into society, having dinner at people's homes, you know, wearing normal clothes, living in a house, because they were preparing him for a life outside prison. And I think it was very clear, Barnard, at least, was very clear about the fact that Mandela was not going to die in prison. He was going to be released. And at the very least, he was going to play a significant role in constitutional reforms. And that's how it turned out.
You know, he very smoothly moved from apartheid South Africa to be also a very trusted advisor to modern-day South Africa, democratic South African politicians and government. Just talk to me about how he managed to do that. And, you know, spy bosses are not usually always trusted by everybody. But this is someone who was able to do that. And maybe talk to me about that.
Look, he wasn't that trusted by... It's interesting. He had enormous respect for, as everyone did who came into contact with Madiba, like you said. So they built up a rapport because Barnard felt that, you know, as I said earlier, Mandela needed to be prepared for life outside prison. So he had enormous respect for the old man, as he called him. But after 1990, so he was moved from National Intelligence in 1992 to become the Director General of the Department of Constitutional Development. And after 1994, he was still in his job as DG, and then Vali Musa was appointed Minister of that department. But that didn't last, because Vali Musa simply did not trust Neil Barnard. Now, you can understand that an ANC minister coming in into a new democratic government, you know, it was very difficult for him to work with an apartheid. And Mohamed Vali Musa, who was minister, then asked Mandela, please, can you just move Neil Barnard away from this department? I simply cannot work with him. So there was a lot of distrust. You can well imagine an apartheid master who still had enormously influential contacts in the spy world, in the police, in the military, and among spies. You know, it was dangerous for the ANC to keep him in a position. So he was moved to the Western Cape, where he became provincial director general. He served in that position for a couple of years, and then he started a private consultant where they still did contract work for the later National Intelligence Agency, as the NIS became. Of course, it's today the State Security Agency, HSA. So up until his dying days, he still did a lot of work for the South African government, SSA, and for various governments around the continent. He was someone that had a vast network in Africa, knew all the heads of state, knew all the dictators, knew all the presidents, knew all the guns for hire, the soldiers for hire. He was someone who was a classic spy master, knew everyone's secrets. And I think, you know, someone in that position remains dangerous until his dying day.
Well, I really appreciate your take. Really insightful. Thank you so much. News 24 Deputy Editor for Investigators, Peter Tutoi there, as we, you know, contemplate and look at the life of Dr. Neil Barnard, who was the first negotiator for Democratic South Africa, obviously working for P.W. Botha at the time, and was the first spy boss. But what a colourful history that, you know, he saw. And as Peter said, you know, someone like that remains dangerous even until his last breath. He dies at 75.
If you missed it live, catch the broadcast on kaya959.co.za.